Hey everyone, welcome back to the Onigiri & Co. podcast. Today I am very excited because I am welcoming someone I haven't seen in real life for 4 years. She's a very, very good friend of mine. I wish we lived in the same country. She's a freestyle pilot from Atlanta. Well, not Atlanta anymore, but from the US. Little Stella Fox.
Hey guys, how is it going?
It's good.
How are you? you need to get some sort of like cheers button, that one of those like really corny audience ones. It's like,
yeah, it's gonna be my Christmas on my Christmas list for podcast.
When's your birthday?
Oh, it's gone. It was 15th of March, unfortunately.
We'll figure out another holiday. We need to make this happen.
Yeah,
crowd button.
Yay! Well, how are you? It's been so long. We were just before the episode, we were talking about how long we've been friends, how long you've known Steel, like this kind of things. And it's crazy when you think about it.
It's been a really long time. Like when you really look at it, it's like, wow, we've known each other and met through FPV years ago. And it's crazy to think that there are people, like, I met a ton of people at Rampage who they'd only been flying for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and I'm just like, wow, like, it's crazy how different things are. And it's just wild. But overall, I've been doing really good, you know, just living.
So if some people in the audience don't know you, because that can happen, right? if we had to summarize your FPV journey, like what would you say about everything you've done in this hobby for forever? Like,
I guess it just sort of started that I met Steel and the crew when I first started flying, and I ended up meeting a bunch of people. I did a bunch of traveling, so I traveled around and met a bunch of people, which I really enjoyed. And then I got brought on by GetFPV and Lumineer, and I was a sponsored pilot for them and Armatan, and that was super duper cool. And then I joined Rotor Riot, and I was the first female pilot for Rotor Riot, so that was super duper fun and awesome. And we did some traveling and made some cool episodes. And then COVID kind of happened and a bunch of other life stuff happened. And I was like, I've taken a little bit of a step back from being like way up in the spotlight and doing stuff crazy, but I still fly. And throughout the course of all that, I put on the women's competition, which you helped judge. So that was super cool.
Yeah.
And we did that 2 years, 3 years, at least two years.
Yeah. I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. We did that women's competition for 2 years online, and that was super fun. And it really showed like a bunch of people that there were more than like five pilots that were female in the whole world. Cause up until like the first competition, there were a ton of people. Even Steel was like, there's only like you and Noelle and Ryan. And you know, there's like five of you. Right. And I'm like, no, there's a whole bunch of us. There's so many of us that fly. So it was really cool that, we got to be able to like showcase some other female pilots. And that's another thing that I remember when we first started, there really were only like us. And now there are so many female pilots, and so many of them are so good. A lot of them race, and that is amazing, because it's one of those things that they're just talented. They're so skilled and talented that it is impressive to see how many females have come into the hobby since we started. And we weren't even like the first wave. We were like the second generation, you know, because there was Babs and at A
Drone
and all,
Doll.
Yeah. And Drone Doll, all of them, like there was like, okay, so there were very few of those that I remember too, but it's still like, we weren't even the first wave. And it's just, it's crazy. Cause now I'm not on Facebook or anything like that, so I don't know, like, the ladies community that was on there, if it's still up or exists, or how many members it's up to now. But I remember when I was on there a few years ago, we had, like, 100 and something people already in there. It was really cool, because it was just, like, more ladies.
Yeah, it was great. And you mentioned Babs, and I miss Babs. I miss her flying. I understand that life gets in the way, you know, and sometimes the hobby becomes secondary. So I don't know actually what happened, but I liked her flying. It was always like chill and poetic. And I was like, every time she would share a flight, I was like, oh, girl, it's so good.
And the music, she always had, the music always went so well with wherever she was flying. It was just one of those things, just like, Yeah. Thank you for posting. I appreciate you so much.
Well, those actually, are the real OGs. You know, you mentioned... Yes. You mentioned the competition last week's episode that I did. You probably saw it. It was with Rue FPV. And that's how I discovered it, through the competition, you know, at the time. So 2 or 3 years ago, she posted something to compete. And I'm like, oh, this girl is cool. And because you always have your little favorite. You tried to be neutral as a judge, but I was like, I like her. And now, yeah, we did an episode together. So that was great, you know. And so
yeah.
I do think that this competition was great. And I know it's a lot of work. And I know it's hard to find sponsors. But I want that to happen again. And I'm considering organizing it, if you don't mind, because I know you're busy. Maybe when summer, well, it's full on summer at the moment. So maybe next year, if we can't do it this year. But I know it's so much work.
I actually have played with the idea quite a bit, because I'm not doing, like I mentioned, I'm not in the medical field at the moment. So I have a bit more time to play around with. I have been considering seeing who would be interested in helping out and putting that on again this year. Because last year was definitely, it was a situation that not only was I hectic and busy, but everybody that I communicated with about doing it, everybody had so much going on. And it was just something that I was like, girls aren't going to be able to participate, and I don't have the time to go through all of the process, because it is very, very, very time consuming to like get everything together and the whole process. But I had just decided that with everything and the stress I was under last year, I couldn't handle it. It's something that quite a few girls reached out and were like, hey, we missed this. This would be amazing to do again. So it's something that I've been playing with. And if I do, it's probably going to be somewhere, because it's full on summer for us. And I know, how is it on your side of the world?
It's full on winter.
Full on winter. So ideally, I'm going to try to shoot for, like, the previous years we did it sometime in the like September, October, November timeframe. And that seems to be where it's like, it's fall for my side and it's spring for you guys. So it seems to be the time period where a lot of people can get out and fly. So I'm going to try to time that so that it also doesn't sync up with semester starting, because that was something that got messy last year, was that when I was going to do it, not only was everybody doing like every race competition in the world, like everybody was training for multi-GP and all that jazz, but everybody had just started new semesters, and it was like, you know, it's hard, like whether you're starting your spring semester or your fall semester, it's hard to find the time when you're in the first couple weeks. So it just, everything was kind of messy last year, but this year I'm thinking like mid-October, somewhere in there.
Nice. Well, I'm happy, because then I don't have to do it.
Well, it'll be a little bit easier for me, because I already have all of the, like the templates, and I already have things like I've done it before. So I already have an idea of the quickest, best way to do it, because we went through the process of doing it all the wrong ways the first year. But I still have copies of all of the like rule sets and stuff like that, which would be, you know, revamped, because obviously there's digital now. So we would have to change a couple of things, but it would still be basically the same, where we keep it to, you know, I want it to be flight only. I would like for not to be in the video. It doesn't have to be, but I'd like the girls to provide stick cam so that we can verify and everything like we did before, you know, having that raw footage so that we can sit there and check, you know, signal strength and make sure it's like, when it gets strong right next to the person that's flying, you kind of know that that's the person that's flying. If there's nobody else standing near them, and it's 100 when they're standing right in front of the quad, it's kind of like, that's the person on the sticks, guys. Like, I know that was a big thing, where a lot of people were like, how do you guys know that she's the one flying? And it's like, well, we went through a couple of processes to make sure that, like, we were fairly certain this was the human being on the sticks. Like, we all were, like, double checking and checking videos, and there were, like, you had to have old videos, and it's like, you know, We try.
But, you know, this is always the same thing. Like, they're getting questions because they're female. And I don't want to be negative because I said we wouldn't be negative.
We're not going to be negative. No negativity.
But, you know, we trust them also because we know them. We have a group chat and we speak to them. And we know sort of that they are there for the fun. Like, all the people who wants to see the evil in it and the potential for cheating are the ones who would be cheating if they could, you know?
Exactly. It was like the people that we're talking about the first year, they were like, if I wear a dress, can I compete? And it's like, yeah, if you legit identify as female, but if you're just trying to play the game, no, because this is for the ladies. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just about, because a lot of people so sponsorship, once again, female are being, you know, privileged. And we're like, well, first off, we're a minority and we're usually not privileged because there's a lot of pressure on a lot of the female pilots in the community for many reasons. Like, whereas do we fly good enough? Do we build the drone? That's something we always talk about with Lexi. But also always, you know,
none of us know how to use a soldering iron. I really want to make that super clear to every male that's listening. None of us females actually know how to use the soldering iron. It's all fake.
It's so hard.
Camera tricks, you know. It's not real. Yeah. I promise.
Like, oh my God. You know, so I was like, you know, this competition is not about proving ourselves once more because we're tired of proving ourselves. It's more about showing you who exists and then you can make friends with the female pilot because maybe you like her style or maybe you like the drone she flies because you didn't know her before the competition, right? Just like it happened with Rue for me. So
that's,
yeah, you know, it's,
that was exactly the big thing is I did it the first year because I really just wanted to, I was just blown away that the guys I hung out with and I was flying with didn't know there were other girls that ripped. And I really, yeah. I wanted to focus on that. And, you know, I really loved that the competition was about the flying. It was about them having fun. Yeah. It was about them getting into it and enjoying it and really focusing on that and not having to worry about any of the auxiliary stuff, you know, it wasn't like we had any vlogging allowed, you know, so they didn't have to worry about any of the, what they looked like or what they sounded like, or it was really just them flying and people could, it was perfect. I loved it for that aspect because it was like you found girls that you enjoyed their pilot style and their flying style, not girls that you liked the way they looked. And it was really nice to be able to present that first as, hey, these girls are amazing. And then you can tell them that they're cute. You know, we're all cute. all of the FPV girls are incredibly attractive. I don't know. You guys like,
and the guys are cute. Everybody's cute. It's a great community.
I agree with that. While I was walking around Rampage, I made a couple of comments. I was like, what is it with like all these cute, nerdy dudes walking around? Like, how did this happen that it just sort of like they all accumulate in one spot? FPV, that's how.
Did you go to Rampage this year?
I did, yeah.
Nice. Cool. How was it?
Hot. But
yeah,
it was incredibly hot, but it was super duper fun. I flew the most that I've ever flown at Rampage the other 2 years, because I've gone to all three of them. And the other 2 years, I didn't fly, like, at all on site. Like, I flew off site a couple times. But last year, I didn't fly anything but everybody else's stuff. Like, I flew a bunch of other people's gear. And then the last 5-inch I flew was actually Sean the Don's. Like, that was the last 5-inch squad I've flown, because I haven't flown a 5-inch since. And this year when I had my little 3-inch with me, it was just one of those things that they had the flight line set up really, really well. Everything was really well managed. And it was really, like, they had digital and analog switching back. It was really good. Yeah. It was, like, I would say that there were less human bodies there this year, but everything was way more organized. And it was the food, like, everything was really nice, and everybody seemed to have a really good time. I had a really good time. You know, I can't compare my experience to everybody else's experience, but it was mine was great. I had a blast, so. Oh no. I have lost Noelle.
Sorry. Sometimes it happens. It's Australia. So I got it started. It stopped after you said you were flying your 3-inch and the track was very well designed or something like that. I think.
Oh, yeah. No, just the way that they had everything organized. It was really, really well organized. Like, the flight lines were really well organized. Everybody got a turn. Nobody was like, I don't know. I feel like everybody got to enjoy flying this year. Whereas the very first year, everything was so disorganized that it was like flying on site was impossible. Like, the people who got to fly waited forever, and it was just like there was no like channel coordination between the different spots, and things just got really really wild. But this year it was, you know, last year it was better as well, but this year I was like, I was pretty impressed with how nicely everything was like set up. But yeah, it was a good time, you know. I had a good time.
Yeah. Cool. And what are you flying at the moment? What is it? Because I know you keep saying it's a smaller version of.
It is a it's a Crux 3, actually. It's a toothpick 3-inch. It's got, let me see what that was in here. It runs on a 450 or 525 2S pack, and then it's got these little tiny. Uh, 6400 kV, it says 12025 on the side of these motors, so
it's tiny.
So yeah, I know. Aww. I know that we're not like using video in the thing, but you can see that it's really small. Like, this is what I've the only thing I've been flying for the last year, and
it looks cool,
and I haven't broken anything on it. I had a motor, I had motor screws come out, they vibrated out, and I had a motor fly off while I was at Rampage. I hit a metal barrel and the motor flew off. But that's the first thing I've broken on it, and I'm slamming it into all sorts of things, and it's gone into salt water, and it's just one of those things. I'm like, it just keeps flying. So anybody who is in the market for a $100 ripper that you can like beat to hell and it still just keeps going, and it has a really good camera on it, the Crux 3. I'm not sponsored. Cool. I'm not sponsored by Happy Model or anything. They're just badass. So.
Yeah. I feel like it falls in the category of like the toothpick kind of things. Maybe it's still a bit too big for toothpicks, but I have a friend, he flies one that is similar to that, very thin, and this thing is very strong as well. They're so light.
Yeah, it's even with the battery on there, and this one has crossfire, so that it's got the extra antenna, and it's still like 210 grams. You know, so it's super fun for most applications, but when it's really windy, like out on the beach where I live, it's a little, it makes it a little bit more difficult to fly because it definitely gets pushed around quite a bit. I posted a video the other day and there's a little bit of orbiting with me out on the beach, and I had somebody ask me, they're like, so why is that like included? And I'm like, well, because the wind was like 20 miles per hour, and if you look how far my hair is pushed to the side, you can only imagine how difficult it was to get that orbit to look kind of smooth. Like, going one way was fine, going the other way, hard as hell. Sorry.
Yeah. And also what is good with that is you share analog video, is that correct?
Yeah.
your DVR.
Yeah, I share a DVR from my goggles. So that's the other thing is a lot of people, it only goes up to 200 milliwatts, and there are a lot of people that are just blown away how good the video is on it. You know, I'm pretty blown away. It's one of the reasons why I still buy it, because the video, like, in the goggles and the DVR that comes out is just, like, it's pretty good. Like, it's not, you know, steel quality that's perfect every time he flies it, but it's pretty good, okay? For $100 right out of the box, it's great.
Yeah. And I like the fact that we can see, you know, exactly what you see, and also it's not like a stabilized GoPro 10 footage, which I have nothing against, you know, these type of footage, but I like that I see what you actually saw on the day. It's really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've never stabilized footage. I've never used any of that program, none of those programs, nothing like that. So I always kind of thought it gave it like a really fake look, you know, not all of it. If you already fly really, really smoothly, it just kind of fixes the little wiggles. But if you don't fly really smoothly, it gives it this really like weird vibe when you add that. I don't know. So
I agree.
It's just not something I like the DVR, but I also hate editing DVR, and it's one of the reasons why I'm collecting funds to get back into the 5-inch/digital world, because I just need a real quad that can handle the wind, and the little guy, as much as I love him, he doesn't carry even one of the little tiny Insta360 Go's. Like, he doesn't even carry one of those very well. So it's kind of like, I do like the DVR, but I also, like, I'll fly now, and there'll be times that I'll fly, and I'll just be like, I don't even want to watch the DVR, because it's all DVR, you know? And it's not like, if I'm in a pretty place and I fly, it's not like you're going to get to see the details of the rocks that I was flying next to, or the beautiful flowers that I'm flying around. It's just kind of like you get to see fuzzy DVR, regardless of how nice it is. So after a year of editing just DVR, I'm kind of to the point where I'm like, you know, I really would like to put my session back on a, you know, 5-inch quad. I do have two of them that just sort of sit here and do nothing. So,
ooh, that's treasure, you know, in 2022.
I've been told, I've had a few people ask if I would sell them, and I'm like, honestly, they're not in very good condition, but I want it anyway, because they still work. They charge and they record video, and that's what they need to do.
Yeah, that's good. So if you wanted, like, let's say if you had a wish list for what you want next, what would you put on it?
Oh, I've already decided at least the basics of it. I'm going to get another Apex, because I did have an Apex that I had built up, and I was having these crazy problems, like crossfire problems. And even like talking to other people, like I asked Schizo and I asked Steel and I asked Stingy, and like everybody was like, "Whoa, that's really weird. I have no idea how to fix that." Like what was happening was, I would test my quad. Everything would be good to go at home. I would do a test flight, everything. And then I would get out to where I was flying. And there's actually one of my videos. It happens in the video. Like, I used it as part of the vlog because I wanted people to see. Like, I was genuinely upset because everything was working. And then I would go out to the field and I would go to arm, and my crossfire would be green instead of blue, or whatever, the other color that it's not supposed to be.
The opposite.
Not the color that it's supposed to be, but the it's not bound to anything color. And I'm sitting there and it would be like, what the hell? And then I would go into Betaflight and all of my UARTs would auto reset to normal, so no matter what I did. And it was just this crazy thing, and it was like I changed stacks, I changed RXs, I literally rebuilt the entire insides of the quad. The only thing I didn't change was the module on the back of my radio. Like, that's the only thing that I didn't change. And it was still, it just kept, the UARTs in Betaflight would reset. And I'm just like, this can't be the radio because it's on the quad. Like, it's connected to the flight controller. So it's not the radio. It's definitely, like, something crazy is happening here. And
it's a ghost.
It was really, really strange. And it got to the point that I got really upset. And I happened to have a Whoop with me that day. And I ended up flying the Whoop instead, and I had a really good session because I was in my favorite spot in the whole world. And I really just wanted to fly my 5-inch that I had just spent all this time and money getting together, and it was perfect. Like, the little bit that I did get to fly it, because I got to fly it just a tiny little bit, it was amazing. And I've flown several other Apexes, and I love the flight characteristics. So, frame-wise, that's like on my wish list. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I just watched one slam into a bus like a billion times and it was still like, there was no delamming, no arm damage, no damage. And I was like, all right, well, if anybody needs to like have a story as to why these frames actually are worth the money, all they have to do is watch Phantom's video where he slams into this bus 100 million times. Trying to go through the window, and you'll see that the props were garbage, but the frame is still just like sparkle, sparkle, sparkle. So,
cool.
So yeah, and then I'm gonna do FedEx on the inside because I don't want to mess with Betaflight anymore.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
maybe no more Betaflight.
No more Betaflight. I don't really want to play around with Kiss, so I'm gonna go FedEx route. Then motor wise, I'm not really sure because I'm still playing with the idea of sticking with 4S instead of going 6. So, because realistically, 4S is just fine for the purpose that I use it for. I'm not doing crazy high speeds. I'm not doing anything insane. So, 4S is perfectly suitable for what I'm doing. But I kind of just want to do 6S because I've felt the power and I love it. Yeah. So it's kind of like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, do I play it safe on something that I know I'm not going to have any issues out of at all? Or, I mean, it's been a few years since things were blowing up on 6S. It's probably okay now, right?
Yeah. And I was going to say, you need to buy batteries anyway. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yep.
just go 6S, in my opinion.
If I have to buy a whole bunch of batteries, that's the other thing is I was thinking, I was like, it's like $3 more to get 6S instead of 4S.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't a cost thing. It was really just like a, do I need that? Because it's a lot of extra. Do I want to put like 8 giant caps on my quad or?
That's the thing. That's the only downside. I was going to tell you, if you liked the power, we know that 6S is more gentle on electronics in a way, you know, as much as can be gentle. But also it's the future, you know, in a way it's a lot of motors are going to be very well done, like well made for 6S. A lot of electronics now is prepared for 6S. So you will need to put a cap, and that's the only downside. Because on 4S, I've never put any cap.
Yeah.
And now I have to because I just made the switch thanks to Snake FPV.
I mean, but if it's only one, I can handle that. But it seemed like a couple years ago when you did 6S, it was like, you want to put, you need a cap anywhere it'll fit, anywhere that it'll stick, like caps everywhere so that you don't blow up.
I just have one now and it's fine. It's on KISS. So check with FedEx Electronics. But I just have one on the XT60, so it's a big one, but and it will stick out of your frame, you know, just get one with long legs and try to put it very vertical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to put a capacitor for a stack at the time on 4S because it was recommended for, actually, yeah, I was wrong recently. During the pandemic, I built a drone with a new stack in it, and that stack needed a cap. So I always try to put them very vertical. My last Apex, which is 6S, I actually got it from Snake. So I didn't build that one. Ooh.
I mean, look, that was the other thing. I've seriously, like, I have no problem admitting that I do not enjoy building quads. Yeah. I fix all of my own stuff. I can do it out in the field. Mm-hmm. I'll do it in front of you. I don't care. But I don't like sitting there and troubleshooting. I don't like doing the computer stuff. I have to do so much other things with my brain and my hands. All I really want to do when it comes to quads, what I want to do anyway, is fly and edit videos.
If
somebody else wants to do my building for me, or somebody else wants to help me when I have something broken, more power to them. You can do that. I'm fine with that. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a lot of other things going on in my life that I'm not going to be hurt if some rando on the internet thinks that I'm less of a pilot because I didn't build the quad that I'm flying. It's like, yeah, well, who cares? I'm the one flying it. So
I agree. I totally agree.
We all started on whoops and none of us built any of those. So
yeah, very true. And like you said, we can still fix things. Recently, I bought a CineWhoop from... what was it? Was it iFlight? I think it was iFlight. And I did. I wanted to go through a window, and then.
So it was, I like how that starts. I wanted to go through a window.
So I did it several times actually, but I wasn't satisfied because you know with CineWhoop you can bubble a bit, and even if you stabilize, because I only stabilize CineWhoop videos for work purpose, you can't get rid of the up and down bubble. Because it's something that cannot be stabilized. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna do it even better. I'm gonna do it very smooth. And so I was flying through that room, just a small office room at our work, and it's a second floor type of place, and I hit the bottom of the window, so not because it's a window that you open vertically, so it's not like something you open towards the, I don't know how to describe it, it's a sliding window that goes up. And it's pretty much like, I would say, like the height of your face when it's open, like something, I don't know how many centimeters or inches it is, but, you know, just picture the height of a face.
It's like, you don't have to say inches. America's the only place that uses them. I like how you added that, though. You're like, you just naturally are like centimeters, and then they're like, or inches.
Yeah. Yes. I'm being inclusive.
So. For all of you stupid Americans, inches are pretty close.
And so I just clipped the bottom and I disarmed, but while disarming, I think it still had done a little like somersault through the window, and it fell outside, because I only disarmed because I thought it was falling in the room, which would have been a very, very low impact, but because it fell from a second floor,
bah! You're like, that canopy's broken.
And actually, what was surprising is that the frame was fine. It's just it had killed the stack, because it fell completely, you know, flat on the ground. And that's the worst thing for drones. It's better if they tumble and roll. But when they just slam, it's like our bodies, right? If we fall and we roll, it's okay. If we hit something flat, that's not good.
Things are breaking, guys.
Things are breaking internally and exploding. And
you're doing real damage.
Yes. So I had to fix it, even though I didn't build it. And that was hard, in my opinion, because I'm used to fix 5-inch or 3-inch, you know, things that we've flown since the beginning. But CineWhoops are built in a very different way. And there's a lot of little bits that I didn't expect to be there. And then I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be able to put that back? And I did. And it's working now. But it's a pain. It is a pain. And I don't want to go through that again. So no more stunts with that little one.
I mean, you should have learned how dangerous windows could be 4 years ago at Spaghetti Junction, because as soon as you're sitting there talking about like hitting the bottom of the window, I'm just like, I know all about that. And then your stomach just like flips, because you're like, well, that's gone forever. Yeah.
I want you to tell that story on the episode, because you need, like, what was the odd? Like, I want you to tell it if you don't mind.
No, it was great, because we were at Spaghetti Junction, which a lot of the new folks are going to have no idea what that is. But it was this really cool building down in Atlanta that was like octagonal, dodecagonal. I don't know. It had a ton of sides. And it just had a bunch of glass windows, and Seal had like done this video where he made this like foam block specially to stick this sticker onto this window on this building. So me and Noelle and a whole, like, there was like, what, seven of us there? Eight of us? Yes. There was a bunch of us there. Paco was there and Hector was there. And it was like, it was a good time. And we're out there flying, and Kevin was standing next to me, and he's sitting there. He's in the goggles with me, and keep in mind, Noelle and Kevin fly mode one, right? Or mode two.
Yeah.
So you guys fly mode one. You guys flew mode one, and we were all flying mode two. So that's important in this. So, so I'm sitting there and I'm flying, and we were all practicing doing the. What is it called? The tap. Like, there's a special name for
it. Yeah, tap. A wall tap.
So we were all practicing these wall taps, and Kevin was, like, coaching me while he was in the goggles, and I was in a really safe spot where it was, like, a bunch of boarded up windows. So a really safe spot with a bunch of boarded up windows. And I wasn't going to like break any glass. Cause I was kind of worried about that. I hadn't been flying for an incredible amount of time. So I was like, ooh. So, well, I guess about a year. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm doing these wall taps. And then it was just like, there's this one spot in a window that was like a story and a half below where I was practicing. There's a spot that was like 3 inches tall, 4 inches tall, maybe just a little tiny gap in the plywood from where the window was and like into the building. And right as Kevin sits there and he's like, nah, there's no way that you're going to end up in there. Because I was like, it wouldn't just be terrible if I went into that hole. And literally as I'm saying that, boom, I go back end first into the hole. So now I'm inside. I'm like 18 stories up in this abandoned building that's got like halfway boarded up. And I'm right side up, though. We can see it. So we're just like, ooh, we're going to fly out of this. I'm shaking. I'm about to throw up. I'm so, like, shaken and nervous. So we're like, Kevin will fly it out because he's super calm. But he flies mode one. So Kevin wasn't going to be able to fly it out. So then Nick went to go and fly it out. And he was doing so good. And he was going right for it. And then the GoPro sitting on top hit a bracket for, like, blinds. Like, a little metal bracket.
That we didn't
see. We didn't see it. And then the GoPro, obviously, when we got the video, the GoPro, it's just like, tink, and it tinks right into that little metal bracket, tumbles down onto the floor, is upside down, and, like, the motor is, like, wrapped up in a wire. Turtle mode didn't exist at this point in time. Keep that in mind, fam. So we're all sitting there, and we're like, what do we do? And I'm sitting there trying to wiggle it loose and trying to see if I can get the wire off of it and get a flip over and do anything. It's just like, oh my God, we're going to have to go into this building to get my quad back. But I'm like, I'm pulling the goggles off and Paco and Jimmy and Nick are already like scrambling up the side of a tree to climb into the building. So they go up to the building, find my quad, put it out the window. I fly it out of like, I hand launch it from the window. They come back down and then another group of us all go up. We find Steele's sticker from the inside, and we take pictures with it because we're like, we found it. We're inside the building, though. That's the outside. And then Kevin got to sit there, and he took, what, a cardboard motor box or something, you know, to counter Steele's super fancy foam block that he, like, engineered specifically for this purpose. He takes this, like, old motor box and, like, tapes it to the bottom of his quad, and we, like, tape the sticker a little bit on there, and boom, he gets it right up next to Steele's sticker, and it was just one of those things that we're like, so maybe you don't need to, like, specially engineer a foam block to stick a sticker on a glass wall, but it was, like, one of those, like, core memory great experiences, one of the reasons why, you know, I keep flying, because of things like that, like, whenever I'm around a group of people and we're flying, crazy, random, fun, amazing things that we remember forever happen like that, so it's just, like, That's why you keep flying. Like, the frustration and the anger that happens with the building and things not working and brand new components not working right out of the box, and you're just like, glad I just wasted $140. You know, you get past all of that because the people and the experiences that you get to have in this hobby are just unreal. The people I've met, like, I've got to meet you, I got to meet Steele, I got to meet you know, the guys down in Florida, the guys out in Seattle, like, all of the human beings I've met through this hobby, it's just sort of amazing. Because we're all, they're really, like, I don't know, maybe because of photography or something like that, a few of us might have connected, but because of FPV, like, there's nothing else that would have connected me and you, especially you being on the other side of the world. You know, we may have randomly stumbled onto, like, one of each other's photos on some web page or something through Explore at some point, but we would have never met if it wouldn't have been for FPV, you know? And it's just, it's amazing, because you're one of those super cool people that I'm just like, yeah, I know that girl in Australia. I've hung out with her.
Yeah. I do this. I say the same about you. I brag about you.
It's like, she's a real person, guys.
Oh, yeah. Australia exists.
No, I can't verify that Australia exists. I can only verify that you are a real human being.
You should come over if you ever have the opportunity. I say that to a lot of American friends, and I know it's not easy, but that would be cool.
I mean, I am fully vaccinated, and I do have my passport, so it's not as difficult as it could be. I already have all of the things necessary, minus the plane ticket, but
which is a big one, a big step as well.
That, you know, that's something that I was planning on doing that before COVID hit. That was something we had talked quite a bit about, me coming out for like a month or something. Just because if I'm going to fly halfway across the country, I'm not going to be there for like 2 days. That would be ridiculous. Or halfway across the world. But yeah, and then COVID happened. And it was one of those things that it was just like, you can't get on an airplane anymore. You can't, you can't talk to people from other countries, let alone breathe anywhere near them. So it got really weird for a little while there. But now the world seems to be like calming down, and I've got all of my credentials. So let's, we'll make it happen.
Yes.
I'll come when it's warm there and cold here. I'll be like I'll be like those people that go down to Florida for the winter, you know?
Yeah.
Except it's Australia and it's way further.
Yeah, but it's way better. I don't know if it's better. Sorry, Florida people. It's already as good.
It's probably way better. You probably have just the same number of things that want to kill you outside though, so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Florida's pretty bad.
It's true. Florida reminded me of Northern Territory in Australia. Like when I went to Miami, it looked like except it was a bit more, how can I say, city, because it was Miami. And I can't compare Miami to Darwin. It's impossible. Darwin is like a small shithole in Australia, but I love it.
Darwin, giant skyscrapers in Miami with yachts and millionaires and housewives, you know. You know what I mean.
I was more comparing the weather and the crocodiles and the palm trees.
Ah, yes. That is Florida.
Yes.
Alligators, humid weather, and palm trees. Plus all of the old people for, you know, the winter reason.
Yeah. Yes. So because you were just saying, you know, how you love the hobby and what actually makes you keep going in that hobby, that was a question I wanted to talk about in this episode. So that's a great transition to the second part of this episode. And that's, so in a nutshell, if people don't really know you, they might not know that you do so many things. You have so many hobbies, and it's not like you have so many hobbies for the sake of it. You actually stick to most of them. And that's something I cannot really do. I have two, three hobbies only. Like, I have a bit of music. I have FPV, which is not one of my main ones anymore, you know, in a way. And then sports in general, like exercising. But you do so many things during the pandemic when you were allowed to, but I wasn't allowed to go outside. I could see you were doing electric skateboard with Nick. FPV. I know you just mentioned you do photography. Now, you've done so many jobs as well, you know, that are all super interesting. And I was wondering, my main question is, like, how do you keep motivated when you commit to so many things, and where's the passion coming from? You know, this kind of questions I have for you.
I guess the passion, I really love learning new things. And when I'm learning something new, I get really into it. And it, I don't know. I really enjoy. So I never wanted to be the best at anything. I always thought it would be better to be really good at lots of things. You know, I can't focus on one thing at a time. I'm one of those people. I'm a crazy multitasker. I need lots of different avenues to be able to focus my energy, so that I can not like lose my shit realistically. So it, when it comes to like maintaining and continuing and still loving so many different things, it's really just that I switch between them a lot. When I start getting burnt out from hooping, I focus on something else so that I don't not want to do it anymore. When I was getting burnt out with flying a couple years ago, I kind of had to focus on a bunch of other things as well, but I focused more on my hooping and my skating because those were things that I didn't have to deal with any of the issues I was dealing with FPV. I could go and still get that mental release that made me feel good and made me like get out of my head. I could still get that without the frustration. So I think it's really just about balance, and it's about remembering that these are hobbies. They're supposed to be fun. When it gets to the point that the fun to frustration ratio doesn't match right, like when things aren't balanced there, you need to take a little step back, focus on something else so that you don't hate it. Because if you just keep doing it to a point that you're frustrated and you're irritated, you're not going to pick it up again. There was a point where I was done with FPV. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it wasn't just the building. It was all of the things that I was dealing with at the time. I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. But then the little crux guy came along, and it was one of those things. I was just like, wait a minute. I love this. I love the way I feel when I fly. I love how I feel after I fly, you know, just, I love getting to edit. I love sharing it with people who appreciate it. So it's one of those things that it was like, I didn't want to quit because it's something I love, but I did want to quit because I was so frustrated with everything else, not the flying. So I really think it's about balancing all of the things and making sure that you're not making something that's supposed to be fun into something that stresses you out and is a job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of us already have jobs that suck and stress us out, and you know that we sit there and the reason we fly is to get away from that. So if it's frustrating you, take a step back. Do something else for a second. Focus on something else and then come back. It's just, you know, studying for a test, you get frustrated, things aren't clicking. Take a break, go for a run, you know, eat a sandwich, and then when you come back, you have like whole new eyes on it, you know? So it just seems like every time I get to the point with any of my hobbies where I'm just kind of like, meh, I don't want to do this anymore. Cause I also get really stuck in my head where it's just like, I suck. I'm not at the level of the other people around me, especially with FPV, because I do hang out with the pilots that I do hang out with. So it makes it kind of difficult because I try to compare myself to people that fly every day. And then I have to remember, one, not to compare myself to those people, just in general. And two, I don't fly every day. I fly once a month. Maybe, if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, you gotta have to just keep it in perspective and don't push yourself too hard so that it's no longer fun. Like, remember that this is a good, fun, enjoyable thing to do. Something to get away from all the stress and the bullshit. Not something to sit there and, you sit there and be like, ugh, now I have to go and fly. You know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Some people get caught in that, especially content creators. And something that content creators get into as well is they feel like they can lose part of themselves. But I feel like throughout your journey, at least from my point of view, you've always been the same person with the same values and the same beliefs and confidence in what you were doing, whether it was, you know, modeling or FPV or hoops. And we can see all of that on your Instagram. And I just thought Sorry, I need a bit of water. Long COVID.
Your cup is really cool. Every time you pick it up, I'm just like, man, where did you get this?
It's a rainbow. It's Kmart in Australia. Yeah, and I feel like that you have also a strong... You're a strong woman, you know, and you stick to who you are and you stick to what you like. And I think that maybe that's something important when you have so many hobbies, like knowing who you are and knowing who misunderstands you and maybe learning to discard their opinion and only focusing on the people who inspire you, for example.
That's definitely that's something I've tried really hard, because I also have seen so many of my friends that are content creators. It seems like they've gone from being the, you know, I've seen a change in their personalities as they've become more recognizable in the hobby. And mm-hmm. it's something that, you know, I've always really tried to just be myself. And if you don't mm-hmm. like it, you know, the modeling, for example, I've been doing that for a long time. So it's something yeah. that I've only been doing FPV for almost 6 years. And anything that anybody says within this hobby about any of that stuff, it's kind of like, yeah, I've already heard all of this. Like, I've been doing it a long time, you guys. Yeah. Like, this isn't my first rodeo. Are you new here? So it's just, yeah. it's, but I agree that it's something, it takes work. It's not something, because there's a lot of pressure as a content creator in general to do certain things. A lot of companies, mm-hmm. you'll be sponsored by companies, for example, and they'll want you to push products. And I'm one of those people mm-hmm. that I can't push products. I can't, mm-hmm. I can sell something that I believe in, something I use, something I truly see the value in. I can show that mm-hmm. and be excited. But I was never one of those people that could, like, here's the greatest new thing, even though a week ago I said this was the greatest new thing. And
yeah.
And that's something that, you know, people don't realize that as a content creator and as a sponsored pilot, mm-hmm. it's a job. That's a job all in yeah. itself. It involves yeah. a lot of work. And it's not, yeah. it's not just, you know, hanging out and talking to a camera. You actually, you know, because you do product photography, you do all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So you understand that there's so much more to content creation mm-hmm. than just yeah. sitting here talking to the camera. Like, you know,
yeah.
people seem to think, but yeah, I think it is really important to just try to remember that we're all human beings here. You know, mm-hmm. that's something definitely that you notice when you're at big events is, you know, the way people act around other people. And it's like, all of those people are going to tell you the exact same thing. They're like, yeah, I'm just a person, like, walk up to me and talk to me. We're all, we're all just people here. It's not like, you know, any of these people are God or Jesus or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Some, you know, it's not like Tom Cruise or Machine Gun Kelly just walked in the door. These are, you know, these are just like regular human beings that play with toys. So,
yes.
But I do think that a lot of pressure is put on content creators, and it does do a lot to change their personalities. It does a lot to change the way that, at least the way they put themselves off online.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you watch your favorite YouTube channels turn into ads, it's kind of mm-hmm. it's kind of like, ah, well, I really loved watching yeah. your flight videos, and now every video yeah. you post is like hawking some crap that nobody gives a shit about. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So
I agree.
I don't want to say that, because a lot of those videos are super informative, you know, whatever. There is a place for that. It is great, and it helps a lot of people to be able to make decisions when it comes to products. But also, a lot of those people are fucking shills, and they're not doing it because it's a product they legitimately think is a good product. They're doing it because they're getting yeah. paid to do it. Which is one of the reasons yeah. why I do like ethics, because those products are, like, the people that support them do so because they are good products, you know?
Yeah.
They
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's a difference between, you know, you have like actual informative videos that will teach you stuff in general about the hobby, like better flight and even like random frames being used to show how to do a build or whatever, things like this. No. And then you can always tell when things are really pushed to be sold. And that's something I had to deal with when I was a bit active for ethics, because I think some people couldn't tell the difference between, you know, me trying to show I was excited because I finally had good products, because I didn't start with good products in the hobby. And I think they interpreted that as me trying to make them buy too, which wasn't really the point of my video. And that's when I all realized that actually, you know what, I'm not interested in trying to make videos about products, so I'm going to really slow down on presenting products on my channel, because I think it's very easy to be misunderstood. And I also understand why, because there are lots of people who try to make you buy stuff. So yeah, I'm more like what you do. I like sharing flights, and I like sharing people flying and my friends, and you know, that's more what I like doing.
Exactly. And if it's something that, like I said, like this Crux, I'm not trying to sell you this Crux. I'm telling you, if you want a really cool cheap little ripper, that's a good option, and I know because I've flown it.
Yeah
I can say that. But if it's something that was a piece of garbage, like a couple of small things that were comparable in size that were sent to me from a very well-known company, I wouldn't tell you that they were good and try to sell them to you. I wouldn't. And that's why I don't talk about those products, because it's out of my preference. It's not what I would spend my money on. So,
I agree. I have one more question for you, because, you know, I am considering, so a friend of mine, his wife is climbing, like she's doing bouldering.
Yeah, that's awesome.
and it's scary for me, because, you know, I'm scared of so many things that it implies, like, going high, you know, and then jumping from it. But at the same time, we've spoken so many times with her already, how we would like to hang out and do these kind of things together. So in a nutshell, that would be a new small hobby that I would try to explore. And I was thinking, if anybody else listening now is also thinking of trying another little hobby beside FPV, because you have so many different, you know, interests, like, can you explain your kind of approach? Sorry, I'm asking you a bit out of the blue here, but you can take your time to think about it if you want. What's your approach when you want to look into a new thing? Like, do you listen to your guts? Do you look stuff up on internet? Like, what do you do when you want to start something new?
So usually it's dependent on what the activity is. If it's something that is dangerous, like something that I could physically get really hurt and that I have absolutely no experience. Like, I've been on dirt bikes for my whole life, so getting onto anything with two wheels that moves is not scary to me, but it is still, you know, like bikes or electric bikes, for example, were a new thing. But I really just approach all of them in the mindset that I'm going to be terrible at it. And I go in that mindset solely because everybody starts, and even if you are naturally talented at something, you're not going to be good at something the first time you do it. Okay. You may be able to do it, but you're not going to be good at it. Okay. I know a lot of people, I know a ton of people that can do lots of things the very first time they do it, but that doesn't mean they do it well. Yeah. So I look at it as I'm probably going to fail a ton of times before I actually can do this in the manner that I've watched somebody else do it. Because I like hooping. I started because I saw somebody else doing something with a hula hoop, and I was like, ooh, I want to do that. And then I tried to do it, and I was like, whoa, this is way harder than I thought it would be. Like, it's way harder than I even could have imagined to do something that I thought was so simple. And that's, it's really like, you just have to go in the mindset that this is going to be hard. This is going to be new. This is going to be something you haven't done before. And that's okay. You're allowed to mess up. You're allowed to have faults. You're allowed to not be good at it. You have to remember that everybody else who ever started what you're doing started it. you know.
Yeah.
They all started at exactly the same spot. So it's not like, you know, yes, there are several tens of people in the whole world that are just like, boom, savants and they whatever. But almost everybody in the world that's doing something you love, something that you're interested in, started and they were terrible at it. But they kept doing it. And that's the thing, is you just have to keep trying. Because if you're like me, I love the challenge. I loved with hooping, for example, it was one of those things that I was like, I can't do this. I need to know how. And with me, that's how it is with a lot of things. It's like, I see something that I want to know and I want to know how to do and I want to learn. And I'm like, I need to learn how to do that. Like, how do I do that? Because I know physically my body can do it. I'm watching other people do it. I know mentally I can do that. I'm not like crazy or, well, okay. I'm not that crazy, but you know, it's like, I know that I have the ability. So when I can't do it, I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this now? I don't give up easy. I am very persistent. So it's one of those things, maybe to a fault, that I'm persistent. Because sometimes it's just like, this is totally not worth it, but whatever. But no, I think that that's the big thing, whether it's flying or bouldering, especially since those are internal fears that you have. Just remember, start small.
Yeah.
Don't think about the bottom. Because you're only going up, right?
Yeah.
So not only that, but you also have to remember that you're going to be doing it with people who are very experienced and who, again, started at the same place you are. So they're going to anticipate what help you need, and they're going to be able to sit there and guide you, as opposed to you just going out and being like, I'm going to climb up this rock now, and then falling off and dying. You're going to be with a crew. You're going to be with people who have the right gear. You're going to be set up and you're going to be prepared. With that, maybe talk to a couple of people that you know. A couple of those people that you know that are really big on the rock climb and stuff, because I'm sure that they have a few tips when it comes to actual physical parts of it that, you know, you're not going to see a video of somebody climbing and understand that. Like, Steele is probably going to be able to tell you certain things about your fingers and certain things about chalk that he's used that's better, and just like random stuff like that, or the girl that you're going climbing with. So you have to remember that you'll have that guidance. And that's something I love about the FPV community now, is that there's so much guidance. You know, when we started, it was really like, we were just sort of like touching wires to things and hoping that it would fly. And nowadays there is a video for everything. And there's more than one.
That's true.
There's like eight different build videos for this one frame with any electronics you want. There's setup videos on JB's page where you can sit there and learn how to program it to do upside down, backwards flying if you want. Who cares? You know, so you just have to remember that in today's world, even though it's scary, you have so many resources that take it slow. Remember, you're not going to be great at it. And just keep doing it, because it's when you stop, it's when you quit, that you failed. You're still learning up until that point. But if you just stop and you never do it again, then you've failed. Who cares if you've fallen 100 times? That's not failing. That's learning. That's trying. It's when it's when you give up and you just quit.
Nice.
I'm not one of those people. I don't like failing. So so that's probably why I still do a lot of hobbies that I've been doing for the last 10, 15 years, because I don't like failing. I like learning. even if it involves scars and tears and frustration and a lot of foul words, it's part of the process and it's worth it, because I get to sit there and fly or hoop or ride the horses or the motorcycles or every little thing that I get to do, and then I get to see the final product. I get to feel that feeling afterwards, and the frustration doesn't matter. The fails, the scars, the blood, none of that matters anymore, because you have those those small little moments of just like perfect happiness that only exist when you're in it, you know, like you don't get it from anything else except for that feeling when you've accomplished something that you wanted, you know, love, money, whatever, all that stuff is great, but nothing gives you that feeling like accomplishing something that you've been trying to do forever, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I agree. That's awesome, humbling and motivating speech, Jamie. Oh. Thanks for sharing it. Well, on this note, I always try to keep my podcast around an hour, and some people are like, why do you always stop when we could, you know, we could have learned more? And I'm like, well, then it means Jamie will just come back in the next episode, you know, that's what will happen. So thanks for joining today. You were amazing. And it was great to catch up with you. I've missed you a lot. You know, I'm not saying that for the podcast. I miss you.
No, it's crazy. Just things have been so hectic and... I agree. Yeah. I feel like the last year, everybody's finally starting to come back together where we're all like people again. So
yes,
it's happening.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll definitely do a follow-up episode if you're keen. I'm really glad you said yes to coming on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really happy. I'm really happy to have you here. So
I only did it so I could sit here and talk to you for an hour. I was like, I'm going to have to answer questions, but I'll get a look at your beautiful face, even though nobody else gets to see it for an hour. I can handle that.
And we should totally do like calls when, you know, we don't record as well. Like I've been doing it with other previous guests. We just sometimes just call and we don't record and it's fun too. So
that'll have to be when it's not first thing in the morning for you or right after I get off to work for me. Because both of us are kind of in the point where I'm just like, I'm a sweaty mess and you're half asleep, so.
Yeah. I'm going to let you go, by the way, because it must be late as well for you now, right? Is it 9?
It's 8:30. 8:24. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I'm going to order a pizza.
Nice. What kind?
probably Hawaiian. That's like my favorite. I like ham and pineapple.
Ooh. Nice. Cool. Well, you know, enjoy your pizza. And for everybody else who listened, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being here. Don't forget to, you know, follow the Onigiri & Co. podcast on Instagram. We are on Instagram. We're also on every podcast app. So feel free to share with your friends. And then obviously you can follow Jamie on Little Stellar Fox on Instagram and YouTube, because you still put stuff on YouTube. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah. Instagram and YouTube.
Yes, and Onigiri FPV, that's me. And usually we have Lexi. She's been very busy working for Airspeeder at the moment. But yeah, give her a follow as well if you don't follow her yet. She's my usual co-host, Mayon Hai, on Instagram and YouTube. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, I wish you some happy flying. Bye-bye.